Project Sapien is a podcast meant to engage our brothers and sisters in the law enforcement and military communities in conversations we all know we need to have. All opinions you hear are our own and are protected by the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. They in no way reflect or are meant to reflect the opinion of any agency, officer, or service member. Some opinions may be controversial. Listener discretion is advised.
Everybody, Project Sapient is back.
You fucking cock tease. That was going to be a different song in the preview, and then you dropped that other. Oh, you're unbelievable. Number one law enforcement podcast and military podcast is back. Huge thanks to our tens of thousands of listeners for all the positive feedback so far in season three. We are full fucking send this season, and it wouldn't be possible without our partners and supporters, starting with our good friends at AAA Police Supply. The law enforcement listeners listening right now, you need a one-stop shop for all your supplies and duty gear. You need to look no further. Head to AAAPoliceSupply.com and use the code HYBRID10 for 10% off every single order you make. We also want to thank our friends over at the Havoc Journal, the voice of the veteran community, focusing on current affairs and articles of interest to the public in general, but really the veteran community specifically, for independent news that gets to the facts on everything from geopolitics, science and tech, finance to contemporary affairs and entertainment. Head over to HavocJournal.com and also make sure and check out our partners there at the Profiles in Havoc podcast as well. Big, big thanks to our friends at the Second Mission Foundation, educating, elevating, and advocating for our service community, helping them find their second mission after government service. To learn more, head over to secondmissionfoundation.org today. We also want to thank our friends at 22 Mohawks. A personal thanks, especially for me, because they're going to throw Iman out of a plane in a couple of weeks. We'll talk about that one. They are combating veteran suicide by throwing Iman out of planes and providing assistance to veterans needing help navigating the re-entry to the ground with gravity. Thank you. Into the civilian world when they return home from duty. Learn more about all the work that they're doing at 22mohawks.com, including why they're throwing Iman out of a plane. That's called a tease, Iman. There you go. Big, big thanks to Kyle Lamb and Viking Tactics, the best tactical gear anywhere from battle belts to slings and everything in between. Kyle's company offers the elite selection of high-quality, battle-proven tactical gear guaranteed to be ready when you need it every single time the job calls for it. Check them out at vikingtactics.com. And we want to thank our friends at the Overwatch Project. We all know that suicide is often an impulsive decision, with research showing the majority of survivors saying they thought about it for less than 10 minutes. And firearms are the most lethal tool there is. The Overwatch Project is aiming to put some time and distance between our person in crisis and that tool by just fucking asking the question, do you have a plan for your firearms when you're in that dark place? Can we make one together? And will you be my buddy and help me with the same? Head over to overwatchproject.org for more information on how to form workable plans of action and how to just fucking ask. Iman, man, we are rolling right now with season three, and I'm super, every episode so far I've been super pumped for. I'm really excited for this one because this is a true game film type episode. I'm really pumped for this one.
Yeah, it's, you know, we've been talking about this game film sort of podcast. I mean, in your other life, you do a lot of broadcasting, so you can literally give a play-by-play of what goes on out on the field. And now this is going to, we're going to take it a step further by showing body cam footage, and Jake is going to give you a play-by-play. And this isn't about bashing cops, nothing like that. This is about the good stuff police do, all right? We're not here to talk about tactics or any of that BS and Monday morning quarterback, and that's not what this is about at all. This is about the good work that police do, and what we will do is break it down even further and talk about the maybes in terms of, you know, psychological, physiological, you know, what could be happening to the officer in terms of their physiological response to the stress, where they end up overcoming, and that's where it's at.
Yeah, that's the big thing is, you know, a lot of people are getting clicks and likes and shares and all this shit on social media by, you know, showing the spectrum. Well, just to be fair, some people show some good stuff too. What we want to do on the educational side of this is giving examples of the smart way, the safest way, not safe because it's never safe. There's always an inherent risk of danger, but minimizing that risk. And so what we decided to do on this first one, you know, after quite a bit of talk and discussion, it's something, I mean, it's super simple, but it's kind of, I don't want to say controversial, but a lot of departments have a really different take on passenger side approaches. So what we're going to do today is we got all three videos here that we're going to play, and we're going to talk through each of them. If you're able to jump on the YouTube side of things, we'll also put the links to the videos in the show notes so you can go look at these videos. We're going to run through them, we'll play through them, and then we're going to talk through everything. And they're a combination of dash cam and body cam footage. And the biggest thing to remember is that there's never going to be a perfect execution of the job, but you strive for perfection, right? And a lot of times you can get yourself into a good or bad situation just by making simple decisions on the front end. And the first video that we're going to go with, it's kind of a different one and a different take. And we see a lot of the videos out there and conversations out there that, you know, police officers understand what's going on, but the public might not necessarily understand what's going on. And one of the things in this first one, and I want to highlight Milwaukee PD with this, because they do a remarkable job of maintaining one thing that is so important for officers that people tend to forget. When you have a suspect in custody or you have a person that you're detaining, you got hands on somebody, you own them. You are responsible for their safety. And this first video we're going to play through with Milwaukee PD, because of the passenger side approach and the passenger side protection, they not only keep themselves in a safe space, but they also keep their custody in a safe space as well. So let's roll that footage there. I mean, we'll talk through this here after we listen to the officers.
Yep, you got it. Here we go.
Stand back, guys. Stand back.
So if you're listening to your car, what you heard with the stand back, stand back, stand back. You got three officers working towards an arrest, and one of the officers with great situational awareness, also maintaining a passenger side protection, identifies a presumptive, which it turned out to be, DUI driver heading right for those bright flashy blue lights of their SUV and slamming into the back of said SUV. Had they been on the driver's side with any of this, there is a really, really good chance at best everybody gets hurt, and at worst somebody critically injured. And so we really wanted to look at this one because it's a little bit different than what our kind of normal conversations are with regards to passenger side approach, because this was actually, you know, they were detaining him, and people just don't think about that. You know, I mean, it's one of those safety things where it's like, oh, it's no big deal, we'll just do it right here on the side because it's convenient on the driver's side. And while it might be convenient, it also puts your exposure risk considerably higher.
Oh, 100%. And you know, I always preach to my officers, my patrol officers out on the road about passenger side approach and how important it is. Quick story about that is when I had a brand new officer, I was an FTO patrolman, and I did a passenger side approach. He did driver side because I wanted him to be contact. You know, contact, I'll be covered, that's fine. And he was talking to the individual, the driver, and me being on the passenger side, saw the screwdriver stuck in the ignition. Now, I might be dating myself, but for you young cops, typically when you see a screwdriver in the ignition of a car, that could mean it's stolen. So
not a standard key operator.
Yeah, no. So I immediately told the officer, you know, my trainee, I said, hey, rip him out of the car, let's go. You know, but passenger side, there's so many more benefits. I've heard the arguments about how, and you know, passenger side approach, the suspect has more room to be able to lift their gun and shoot. But I will, we're going to show a video where
we'll get to that.
To me, it gives you a lot more situational awareness, gives you that minute to look inside the car, looking through the windows, passenger side rearview mirror, all that good stuff. So there's so many benefits, and this next video we're going to show you is.
Well, and actually, before we roll to the second one, hit the play button real quick, because listen to the female officer's commands here.
Oh yeah.
She did a hard job.
Yeah, you're right.
I got you. 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 I got you.
So, and hit pause. So what you hear there, I got you. What you're hearing is the suspect attempting to flee in the middle of all this.
And talk about, talk about
ballsy, right? He's sitting there, and I mean, you've got the one officer identifies a car coming, getting everybody back, you know, and good command scene presence there, just, you know, being very direct in his communication. Everybody backing off. Well, the suspect saw that as, this is my chance to try and slip. And she was like, sorry, that ain't happening. She did a great job of controlling him and keeping him from fleeing. That was, I mean, that's a win on all fronts.
Oh, 100%. And I just love that. Whoa, you're not going anywhere. Like,
no, this isn't a hall pass.
Yeah. Yeah. That actually gave me a little bit of a chuckle when she said that, because you and I both knew right away exactly what was going on. The dude totally tried to slip amongst the chaos, thinking that, you know, all the cops are distracted, which she wasn't. And if you can tell, in the video, she actually maintained her arms the entire time to the suspect because she understood that, guess what? He's my responsibility. I'm not letting him go.
Exactly.
So that's
exactly, she controlled him the entire time and kept him from being hurt. I mean, the whole thing. And then, of course, kept him detained because, you know, shitbags be shitbags. So,
yeah, exactly. You know, you give him an inch and they'll take 10 miles, you know?
Yeah.
All right. So
second video here is going to be another passenger side approach. Again, if you're watching, great. If you're listening and then you go back and watch these, we'll link these in the show notes again. This is a passenger side approach on a freeway traffic stop in Oklahoma. And this one plays out, it's about 30, 39 seconds. It's on the dash cam, but we got great audio from the officer's body cam as well. So you can kind of hear his side of things. And this is just a standard traffic stop. No big deal. You wouldn't even think twice about it. And the driver, the occupant of the vehicle, I'm not joking. I think it actually was an actual soccer mom. So, I mean, it's just one of those low stress kind of interactions he's having. And then things go a little bit different.
Yeah. All right. So let's play this one.
Okay. That took a long time. So here's the car back. You're suspended. Okay. I'm not making it to jail. I'm letting you drive off.
You! I mean, holy shit.
Right. Blink of an eye.
Yeah.
Blink of an eye. So for those that are listening at home, what you heard, standard, just kind of conversation, not taking you to jail, had a suspended license, but no big deal. You know, cite and release, go get it taken care of. And literally before he even finished that sentence, driver not paying attention, obviously, impacts driver's side rear of the stopped vehicle, sends the officer flying. Everyone, so that everybody knows, everyone walked away from this. I mean, obviously EMS showed up and injuries, but no one died. Everyone was okay. And he had he been driver's side?
Oh, he would be toast.
I mean, I don't think you count the number of pieces that he would have been in.
Yeah. I mean, because that SUV was moving at a good clip, that car SUV, and it even rolled, actually. You know, it had a rollover. So what I find amazing.
Roll that again from right there, just for the folks that are watching.
Yep. Oof. Oof. I mean, you're talking freeway speeds, right? 55, 60, 70 miles an hour. He gets thrown. Miraculous that he wasn't more seriously injured, because he literally got thrown in the air.
Yeah, he got checked hard from the car.
Yeah.
The driver, thankfully, had her seatbelt on still.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, imagine, you know, where that's going to go had she not been belted. She's through the front windshield.
Oh, my God, yeah.
At best. The other driver on the, you know, and it rolled three or four times. And this isn't a, you know, it's one of those kind of just innocuous stops you wouldn't think twice about. The only thing that, you know, maybe I might have done a little bit different, or you might have done a little bit different, when he first makes, or he comes back on the second approach, instead of wrapping around the back of his patrol car, which, you know, it's another 30, 40 feet, he walks in between, right?
Yeah,
If you make this accident 10 seconds sooner, or he hits, or the person hits the squad car, you're trapped in between those two.
Yeah. Right?
That's one of those things. Sometimes you can't avoid it. It is what it is. You know, his vehicle positioning was great. Everything was great. That, you know, if anything, that's the only thing that my takeaway was like, yeah, this just reinforces, I don't want to walk between cars.
No. I mean, that's the thing. In the final video, we're going to show the officer. There's a reason why the officer did not go in between the cars. So, you know, picture for those who are listening, the more veteran officers, even the newer officers, right? If you're going to do a passenger side approach, you always want to go to the rear of your vehicle and approach from the passenger side of your vehicle. And the reason why, especially if it's at night and you got your lights flashing and the takedown lights and everything, you're going to shadow yourself, right? You're going to basically give away your position to the suspect should that suspect be up to no good. Your everyday soccer mom or dad, they're not going to know any better, right? But we treat all car stops as what?
High risk.
High risk, because we don't know who's sitting in there. I mean, we've seen videos and learned during the academies of, you know, officers getting killed over suspended licenses. Or I remember one during my academy class, we watched the video. It wasn't a video. It was just talking to about this, where the officer was just going to issue a speeding ticket to this guy, and the guy shot him in the face, you know? So you never know. And you know, for those who think that we have this magic ball and can tell exactly who you are, I have no idea who you are. Like, no one knows.
And for the civilians that are out there listening, or anybody that maybe somehow magically has never been contacted by police, just because they're coming up passenger side, it doesn't mean anything different. It's just that the officer taking a tactical, safe approach for the safety of himself, herself, and you.
Yeah.
And so, you know, some people kind of get a little bit nervous when they're like, wait, why are they coming to the passenger side? I don't know what to do. Just do the same thing. Keep your hands in plain sight up on the steering wheel. If you want to be dramatic, put them up on the ceiling, but just keep everything there. Keep the windows down to where you can hear clearly, you know, and just be a good customer. hopefully you're a good customer and your interaction will go well, but don't panic just because they're coming up passenger side. It's more often than not a safety factor than anything else, especially if you're not a shitbag. If you're a shitbag listening to this, do the right thing. Don't be a shitbag. Just drive down to your local PD right now and turn yourself in. Let's just skip the middle steps. No, but for the civilians out there that don't understand why a passenger side approach, or you see somebody on the highway, you know, out here, especially state patrol, that's mandatory. I mean, if a supervisor drove by and saw a statey on the driver's side and didn't have a really good reason for it, oh boy, they're going to be getting a talking to. So,
yeah. So, now this final video, it's out of Texas, Westerville Division. I know this is back in 2013, but I use this video all the time to any training I do, any sort of tactical or any patrol level type training, because I think it is probably by far the best passenger side reasons for passenger side approach. So real quick, this is a midnight shift, 1:15 in the morning. Nothing really good ever happens 1:15 in the morning on a midnight shift when you observe suspicious behavior with a vehicle and you decide to pull it over. So I'm going to play the video. It's about 2.5 minutes. We're just going to let it run. You guys listen to the sounds. You might, you know, and then, you know, Jake will narrate exactly what's going on after we play the video. But for those who are going to be on the YouTube, like I said, we'll do the link. We'll send all the links in the show notes. That way you can watch it and, you know, critique yourself. Use it in your PDs, you know, by all means. Absolutely. Like you, if you have time for roll call training, use these videos. Show why certain things are good. You know, why you need,
like Mike and Chuck said in the first two episodes, visualize this scenario so it's not the first time you've seen it.
Exactly. So here we go. There's no audio the first couple seconds. So right now the officer is, his name is Officer Dave Leite, and he's about to initiate a traffic stop. The stop was supposed to be for a routine equipment violation for simply not having a rear license plate light on. This particular traffic stop was far from routine.
For those that are listening, it's a four-lane commercial district.
Yep.
538.
Clarison Worthington, Frank Mary Tom, 2583. Frank Mary Tom, 2583 on a silver Ford. We're pulling to Tim Hortons up here.
All right, I want to pause right there for a second. I love this. So what he did was call it in before he initiated the stop. I absolutely love, love, love this. And I tell my officers all the time, do you have to call it in when you pull them over right away? Or can you wait a second while you're traveling, while you're driving down the road behind this car, as you're waiting for that safe area to pull this car over, call it in as it's about to happen? Yep. I mean, I tactically and proficiently effective. I love it.
I always go back to, and I feel like I got the greatest academy ever because this was standard for us. And it was something that just seems so obvious, right? But then, you know, as we've traveled in here, a lot of different agencies, departments have different protocols. And this is one of them. And it always blows my mind. It's like, you've got time. You got all the time in the world. You're not in a time machine, but you're in all the time in the world. You're getting paid by the hour. Yep. Take the time, set yourself up, put them into a spot that's disadvantageous for them. Use all of your resources before you get into any kind of situation that you don't want to be in, because you got all the time you want.
Yep. 100%. And that's the thing. You have the time. So I'm going to start rolling it again.
Those listening, the suspect did not pull into the parking lot. He stayed out in the intersection curbside.
Yes, sir.
And right now, for those listening, take down lights right into the cab of the car. Suspect is looking backwards, can't see anything. Officer's making a passenger side approach right now, and the suspect doesn't even realize it. Officer's looking in from behind the B pillar into the car. Suspect is still looking backwards towards the spotlight.
So real quick, all right. He's looking back again. He's looking back at the patrol car, expecting the officer to do a driver's side approach. The officer, what he observes is a firearm next to the guy. The guy is gripping a firearm, waiting for the officer. Now you
one empty hand out the window on the driver's side. So the guy, this is not an idiotic, you know, criminal. This guy's baiting the officer in. He's showing an empty hand out the driver's side window, and his right hand is on his firearm.
So Force Science did a study on suspect that have firearms who shoot at police officers. The average time it took for the suspect to shoot the officer, and they did it through multiple tests, multiple, like hundreds of body cam footage, all that stuff, right? They averaged it a 0.25 milliseconds it takes for the suspect to point their firearm at the officer and to shoot. Now, the response for the officer is anywhere between 0.64 to a second and a half to respond. Now, think about it. Action beats reaction. How can you mitigate some of it? Well, one of them is passenger side approach. Give yourself that advantage. That way you're able to better assess what you have in front of you. So let me continue to play this, and you'll start to hear some audio from the officer.
10-3, he's got a gun. 10-3.
10-3 on 538.
Suspect has no idea the cop's there.
Put your hands up.
Not a clue.
Put your hands up. Put your hands up. Put your hands up. Put them up. Put them up. Put them up. Put them up.
Gunfight's on. Look at that tactical retreat. Went for cover.
So many good things.
Yep. All right.
And if you roll that last couple seconds on there, or it's on the full length YouTube video, there's a passenger in the car during this.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So this is an extremely complicated fight. I mean, multiple variables, but the best part about it is, bad guy lost, good guy won. Fuck that guy. I guess that's maybe not appropriate for some circles, but
whatever.
The bad guy lost because he's fucking stupid. The officer won because he was fucking smart.
Yep.
Identify as a firearm. The bad guy's baiting him in. I mean, you can see with his hands and his hand play, looking out the driver's side window, looking back towards the light. What the fuck, man? Where's it? Where you at? Like, let's go. You know, I'm waiting for you. And the officer's just on the passenger side, pulling in all this information, making the radio calls. Suspect doesn't hear it, identifies himself, tells him, you know, show me your hands. Goes for his gun. It's like, fuck. I mean, you know that the officer does not want to shoot across the passenger side into the front glass, into that guy. But the best thing about it, as soon as that driver identifies where the officer is, and you see he realizes it because he raises his firearm and the officer fires back, the officer's firing and moving off that X instantly. And the suspect, after having been shot, can't keep up with that movement and keeps looking and attempting to fire at the direction the officer was, while the officer continues to circle around, gain an advantage tactically, and put more rounds into the bad guy and make him DRT.
That's the thing, right? Think about a warrior's mindset, right? The way this officer was, the way he approached everything, the way he conducted himself during this entire encounter. It took about 15 to 20 seconds before the officer even called in that the suspect had a gun, because the officer was assessing everything he had in that car before he even unholstered his firearm. In the first few seconds, he was looking for any other threats in the car. The passenger, clearly not a threat, right? He was not really concerned about the passenger because he had identified the passenger as not a threat. His main threat and focus was the driver. When he announced himself, you saw the handgun from the bad guy. He gets out of the car with that handgun. He wanted a gunfight, right? He pointed at the officer, gets out of the car, and that's when the gunfight happened, right? Again, officer perception, he perceived the threat. Deadly force, obviously authorized, right? Because his life was in imminent danger, to include the life of who? The passenger. Because we are also responsible for everybody else in that vehicle, regardless of who they are, whether they're also bad guys or good guys, it doesn't really matter. All right. So every bullet that gets out of our gun is accounted for, right? Is accountable. So with him being so locked on, right, trading rounds the way he did, he was very, I mean, tactically aware. Talk about situational awareness.
Oh, perfect.
You know, situational awareness. And then, again, that tactical retreat where he went for cover, right? He went to find cover. He knew that he had a gunfight, and he knew he did not have eyes on the suspect, all right? And if you, again, you watch the full video, it's about 10 minutes long, you'll see him communicating with the other responding officers of where to come, where to show up, where to stop, because he had that awareness.
Yeah, if you roll it from here one more time, we'll watch him one more time for everybody that's watching in real time. He's on that approach. He's walking up right now, and literally he's at the C pillar in the back. You can see the brake lights are on. Suspect is he's ready for a fight. He's ready to go. Looking out that driver's side window, officer's looking in the back window. The other thing he does right here, and you'll notice, he indexes with his feet. And he recognizes there's a curb here. So he's got a little bit of a disadvantage with that curb. If he went straight back and loses his footing, he's smart about this. He steps forward, especially when he has the opportunity. Some, and I'm not going to say it's right or wrong, some training would have you retreating around the back of the car, right? But then you're also losing sight of what's happening inside the car in the front. Others would have you do exactly what he did, which is now, as he's engaging, he's moving, and you could almost say advancing fire, right? Because he's moving around the front. The other thing he's got in his advantage by doing that, the suspect coming out of the car who's already taken rounds, he's got a giant engine block in between him and the suspect. That's a lot of heavy steel.
Yep.
It gives you a good chance. Again, nothing's ever perfect, but this is... I mean, realistically, in the longer version, you see as he moves back off the X, he doesn't get frozen. He's communicating the entire time, details to responding units. He talks the passenger out of the car, who promptly walks out in the crosswalk and lays down.
Yep.
Not maybe necessarily the greatest thing if other traffic coming by, but it was the option that she chose. And he put, with verbal commands, puts her on the ground, prones her out, while her friend or whatever this guy was is laying down next to the car, and then the other responding units, they know that she's in the roadway. He's at the vehicle. His weapon still. I mean, it's literally a perfect stop and engagement. I don't know how you could criticize this officer in any capacity of not doing everything. And he's solo. He's 100%.
Yeah, he's a solo officer.
Solo officer. This is exactly what you want to see. And I understand, like, some people listening, you know, whether it's civilians or whatnot, you know, nobody goes to work that day hoping to get into a gunfight. No officer does.
No.
Right. But for him, when he's done with all this and decompress, it sucks. You know, he didn't choose this. He didn't want to do this. That guy chose. And that was the outcome, right? The bad guy decided what it was going to be. The officer did everything he could to mitigate that, you know, from the beginning, just the way he initiated the stop and everything else. And that guy chose violence and he fucking lost.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't feel bad about that. And I, you know, it's dumb people, bad people do bad things. And if that's what they're going to do, you know, I'm proud of that officer and that department for the way that they handled everything. Cause then the responding officers, everything just as disciplined, just as perfect.
Oh yeah. It was like textbook almost. Like it was almost too perfect to the point where you're like, and you can tell that officer trains, obviously. Again, there was actually a great, so I think it was Joe Rogan who was talking about, you know, training one day versus training 100 days, right? If you pick up a guitar and train for one day, well, you're still going to sound like shit, right? You're not going to be perfect at it or anything like that. You train for 100 days every single day on that guitar, you're going to be able to play almost anything, right? Especially with consistency. When you're consistent with your training, right? Whether it be tactical, physical, mental, right? We've been harping on the mental aspect this season, harping on it big time. Because to us, what we found is if you don't work on the mental enough, because our brain is another muscle to exercise. If you're not working that brain enough, the physical part is going to be 10 times harder because your mindset's not there. I'll give you a quick example today. I'm not going to go into specifics of the case or whatever, but we had a use of force incident. I was very proud of one of my officers telling a junior officer, brand new guy, because he was having a hard time with the fine motor skills to get the handcuffs on and all that stuff, told him, breathe, take a deep breath, dude. Relax, get that, you know, you'll get it done. I was actually like, you know, again, as a sergeant and what, even as a fellow officer, I'm like, dude, that is awesome. Like, great heads up.
That's got to make you feel so proud.
Oh, absolutely. And it's like, you know, to me, it's like, they're getting it. Like, it's sinking in, the whole relax, like, we'll get there. Just don't panic, you know, you're going to get those handcuffs on, not a big deal. And it worked out. So I was like, hell yeah, you know, and it's so important. You can tell the officer from his voice, the officer who was involved in that shooting. Did you hear any sort of screaming out of him?
No, calm, cool, very detailed.
Yeah.
You know, very specific with his language because he knows partly in the back of his mind, I'm sure he knows he's, you know, everything's recorded.
Yeah. Right?
Which I mean, so body cams weren't in the field as much when I was in my brief time, and I know that for some departments they're still just now rolling them out.
Yeah, we are.
I look at that as a huge advantage for the officers. It's like, yeah. One, I mean, you know, on the one side, it's like, cool, we got highlight footage, but two, it's like, hey, everything that you just lied about in court or with the whatever attorney. Yeah, we got recordings, and yep. Weird how those don't always sync up like the bad guy seems to want them to. Here's all of the footage. Here's all of the information. And listening to that call and that recording, all three of the videos that we just showed are remarkable with the communication,
yeah.
All of them.
Yep. And again, it goes right back to mindset, right? Situational awareness. And you know, the first video, yeah, you have like 5-6 officers there. Someone should be scanning the 5 and 25. And for those who are non-military, 5 and 25 means you scan your 5 meters and 25 meters. Situational awareness. You know everything that's going on around you. You let the officers who have hands-on on the suspects, let them handle it, right? You are basically their backup to their backup just to make sure everything is safe. And good heads up on that officer who's the backup to the backup to be like, hey, step back, step back. I mean, clearly that car was going to hit the Mark Cruiser, right? He had no lights on. Like, you could tell it was a complete OUI, middle of the night OUI that hit that those patrol cars, or hit that patrol car. And like you said, you know, Jake, if they were on the driver's side, it'd be a whole different story.
Probably would have been a massive mess, you know, and that, it's just one of those things. It'd be such an easy thing, right? This is an easy stop. Nothing's easy, right? You just gotta, it doesn't mean that everybody's out there to get you either. And that's the other balancing act, right? You get, and I do think that there's a lot of need, and we've talked about this before, and especially the departments we work with obviously are, I would say, very progressive in their training. They're very progressive, and they're aggressive. They want to do everything they can for the betterment and the well-being of their officers, because they know the shit weighs, right? It's not the 1 pound rock that gets you. It's that last 1 pound rock. If you can't fucking unload your bag and you're just getting crushed under the weight of it, you're not mentally there. You're not ready to go on the, you know, you need to completely get that dealt with, or at least reduced to where you can continue to function. And the previous, you know, decades have been just keep eating shit, keep eating shit, keep eating shit. And then what ends up happening? Oh, weird. Not a coincidence. Our law enforcement officer suicide rate is higher than our veteran rate.
Yep.
It doesn't fucking end with a rainbows and unicorns.
No.
So I'm so happy to see, you know, and these are very current videos and the training methodologies that are out there and available for officers. I'm so glad to see that there is a concerted effort to improve the level and capability in the full spectrum. From, you know, our second video with Oklahoma City stop on the freeway. That's just good customer service. Hey, I'm going to, yeah, this is just, you know, you got to suspend a license. I'm not going to arrest you. Go get it taken care of. Right. I mean, that's good customer service. That's good community policing right there.
And compassion goes a long way out on the road. I tell officers all the time, like, not everybody is an evil asshole that we deal with. Yes, the evil is out there. For those who think it doesn't exist or want to disguise it with a mental disorder, no, fucking evil exists. And you will know evil when you see it right in front of you. I mean, I've been overseas. I've seen what evil looks like. I've been home. I've seen what evil looks like. Evil is here. All right. But when you're dealing with those who have severe mental health disorders, whatever it might be, a little compassion goes a long way. You know, like that officer that trooper who gave the break for the suspended license, could have been that this individual forgot to pay a speeding ticket or forgot to pay something. Not a big deal. It's not the end of the world. Here's a summons. Go get it taken care of. When you show up at court, just show that you paid, which I've sat on those hearings as the officer for the court. And as soon as they show me that, yep, I got it taken care of, completely forgot about it. Guess what? 99.999, 100%, it's dismissed. It's not going anywhere. That's all it is. So it's compassion goes a long way.
Yeah. And I just think that's, you know, if you want to be a good community officer, you got to be able to do the whole spectrum. You know, if you're out there walking around thinking you're a hammer and looking for nails, all you're going to find is nails. And that's not what the job requires. You need to be a multi-tool now, right? It's just the time and age of that has passed. I still believe firmly it is the greatest job anywhere. You can't find a position in your community as a resource to your community any better than being a police officer. Close second is a firefighter.
But they sleep a lot.
PD is still the best.
And they sleep a lot and watch a lot of Netflix, all right?
They do. And they are fucking epic at Madden. It drives me nuts. Every time I go in there, I get my ass kicked. It's like, can we do a first-person shooter and just go to the point
field? Exactly.
No, but I mean, really, like these three videos, you know, part of the season two, we want to make sure that anybody that's listening that might be going on shift, or you might be on shift on your break, and this is, you know, obviously a little bit shorter episode because it's game film. We want you to take home at least one thing to make you better, maybe safer if you can do it, or just more effective in your job. And this one, you know, really, honestly, to watch all three videos, it's going to take you about 4 minutes, but just go watch all three. They're in the show notes. They're in the links. You can watch the longer protracted one of the shootout as well. Because you can see the secondary and third response on that and how they set up. And it was a really, really well done and well orchestrated response. But, you know, take the 3 to 4 or 5 minutes to watch these videos and just go through your own mental hurdles. Hey, okay, what did I do last shift? Okay, you know, I probably, if I'd utilized this technique and tactic, it probably would have been better. Yes, it was successful, but can I do it better? And just aim for that 1%. That's all we're trying to do with any of this stuff and exemplifying these. And, you know, for anybody listening out there, if you got samples of videos, I mean, we're scouring stuff all the time. We get stuff sent to us, send us, keep sending stuff. I mean, it's been great. We get DMs and video links all the time to the good, the bad, and the ugly. But just know if you send it to us, you know, if we're going to put it on the show, we're going to be putting on stuff that's going to be showing the right way to do things. We're not trying to put anybody on blast. Unless they absolutely need to be put on blast. And that's a conversation to be had for that New York judge here, maybe in a week or two that we'll talk about. But the folks that are listening, they've been sending stuff in, keep sending it. We love it. It's awesome. And same with your questions too. If you got any questions about anything, and if you're a civilian, if you got questions about something, you know, as long as it's not going to give away any, you know, TTPs, I mean, we'll answer it. If we don't have the answer to it, you can sure as shit bet we're going to go find the person that does.
Hell yeah. And that's the thing. Don't forget, I mean, email us, projectsapient2020@gmail.com. I'm always on there responding to people as much as I can in between work and school and everything else that I got going on. But I'll try.
That's called adulting, and it's stupid.
It is stupid.
Yeah. Big thanks to all of our listeners and all of our sponsors and our supporters. A big, big thanks to AAA Police Supply. They are out there for you. If you're on duty tonight, head over to AAAPoliceSupply.com and use that code HYBRID10 for 10% off every order you make for all your duty gear and apparel needs. Big thanks to our friends at the Havoc Journal and our partners over there at the Profiles in Havoc podcast. Huge thanks to Second Mission Foundation, educating, elevating, and advocating for our service community. Check them out at secondmissionfoundation.org, along with 22 Mohawks at 22mohawks.com. On top of throwing Iman out of planes, they're really, really good at finding the right dog for our vets. And that's been a big component of their mission here the last couple of years. It's been a lot of fun watching the dogs and the success that they've been having with their veteran influence. We also want to thank Kyle Lamb and Viking Tactics, the best tactical gear, battle proven, highest quality, guaranteed, ready to go for you every single time the job calls for it. Head over to VikingTactics.com and take your credit card because you're going to spend a bunch. It's fantastic. And as well as our good friends and people that are supporting us over at the Overwatch Project. To learn more about how to form workable plans of action for you, your circle, your buddies, and how to eliminate the suicide with firearm epidemic by doing one simple thing, just fucking asking the question, what's your plan? What's your plan when you're in that dark space? Let's talk about it right now. All right, be my buddy. I'll be your buddy. Head over to overwatchproject.org. You can get all the tools and information for that. And just fucking ask. Iman, brother, fucking great. Another one in the books. This is so fun. I am super happy to be here this season. Hopefully everybody's having a good time listening to these episodes. And keeping it real out there and staying safe.
Staying sapient.